We're turning again to Exodus chapter 16. For a few moments at the end of the service tonight, I want to preach on the subject, the murmuring of the children of Israel. And I want to base my remarks tonight on Exodus chapter 16, verses 2 and 3. There are other verses that we will be looking at, but look now with me at Exodus 16, verse 2 and 3. It says, "And the whole congregation of Israel, of the children of Israel, murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Let's bow in a wee word of prayer and ask the Lord for his help. And we certainly need his help as we come to preach the word of God tonight again. Father in heaven, we thank thee for your blessings to us today already, for your precious word that has come with power to our souls. And yet, Lord, we recognize that this is a new meeting and we need new power. We need thee to come afresh. Therefore, Lord, we cry unto thee in Jesus' precious name. And we pray, Lord, that thy word again tonight would speak to our hearts. And Lord, we pray that you would come, Lord, and minister unto our needs. We thank thee, Lord, for these studies in the life of Moses. And we thank thee for the lessons that we learn from his life and from his times. And we know, Lord, we have proven again that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And oh God, we pray again tonight that thy precious word might profit our hearts and profit our lives. We thank thee for saving us, those of us who are saved, Lord. We thank thee, O God, for thy mercy to us in redeeming us by your precious blood. Once we were on the broad road leading to hell, but Lord, we thank thee that tonight we're on the narrow road leading to heaven. We thank thee for thy mercy to us. Once we were in our sins, lost forever. O God, we thank thee tonight that we're saved tonight, redeemed, and Lord, we're heaven bound. We just pray this evening that as we make our journey from earth to heaven, that you would help us, Lord, to be those Christians you want us to be. Fill us day by day, Lord. And we think of this new year. We pray that we might know the infilling of the Holy Ghost day by day in our lives. So, Lord, we just pray now that you would come, Lord, and speak to us through thy word this evening. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. When we come to Exodus chapter 16, we discover that the children of Israel had been on their journeys just 1 month. In Numbers 33, verse 3, we are told that the Exodus from Egypt began on the 15th day of the first month. And then in Exodus 16, verse 1, we read that when the children of Israel arrived in the wilderness of Sin, it was the 15th day of the second month. Therefore, in Exodus chapter 16, just 1 month has passed since Moses, by the hand of God, led the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. During that month, the Israelites had seen the power of God demonstrated in a most unique way. They had witnessed things that they had never witnessed before. God delivering them from Egypt when all hope seemed to be gone. God destroying their enemies. God opening up the Red Sea before them. And God making bitter waters sweet. Such miracles had never been seen before by this generation of God's people. How greatly blessed were the children of Israel in the days of Moses. And there was still much blessing to come. And yet, although the people of God in the days of Moses were so blessed in that first month after leaving Egypt, The Bible records that within that first month, the children of Israel complained and murmured at least three times. They murmured just before God opened up the Red Sea in Exodus 14 verse 11. They murmured at Marah just before God made the bitter water sweet in Exodus 15 verse 24. And we saw that this morning. And now in Exodus 16, they're murmuring again. And this time the children of Israel are complaining about having no food. And this was not going to be the last time that the Israelites murmured in the wilderness. Indeed, the truth is that throughout their 40 years wandering in the wilderness, they continued murmuring and complaining to Moses and to Aaron. Now, very simply tonight, as we come to our studies in the life and times of Moses, I want us to consider this murmuring of the children of Israel. And I want you to notice a number of things. And I pray, child of God, even the message tonight, that it might be a warning to you and I who are saved by the grace of God. First of all, I want you to notice here that murmuring and complaining is a sin against the Lord. It's a sin against the Lord. In Exodus 16 verse 2, we read that the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron. Look at verse 2 of Exodus 16. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. It seems here that the children of Israel are just finding fault with Moses and Aaron. But the truth was this, the congregation of Israel were in reality finding fault with God. And we must emphasize that. It's important that you see that. It was not Moses and Aaron that had commanded the children of Israel to go into the wilderness. God had commanded them. God had led them this way. Therefore, the children of Israel were in this situation because of God. The Lord had led them from Elam to the wilderness of sin. And Moses told them that their murmuring and complaining was not against them, but it was in reality against God. Look what we read at the end of verse 8. And Moses said, "Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord." And this is confirmed by the Lord himself. Turn over to Numbers chapter 14 just for a moment. Keep your hand in Exodus chapter 16. And look with me there at Numbers chapter 14, verses 26 and 27. And you read these words. "And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, How long shall I bear with this evil congregation, which murmur against me?" Underline those words. Here's the Lord's own testimony concerning this murmuring of the children of Israel. And the Lord says here, they murmur against me. God here, you'll notice, describes those who murmur and complain as evil. Therefore, murmuring is sin, and those who murmur are sinning. And they are sinning against God. That's what the scriptures here reveal unto us. And murmuring and complaining, of course, is forbidden in the Word of God. We're familiar, I'm sure, with what the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 2, verse 14. He said, "Do all things without murmuring and disputings." Child of God, murmuring and complaining, whatever we are murmuring and complaining about or to, is sin against the Lord. And that's what's happening here in Exodus chapter 16. Now, the children of Israel may have thought that they were bringing their complaint to Moses, that they were murmuring against him. But Moses here, as we have seen, quickly reveals unto them that in reality, their murmuring is against the Lord. So murmuring is sin against God. And that's what we learn here from this passage of Scripture. But notice something else here. Look again at Exodus chapter 16. And particular, look again at verse 8. And you will see that the Lord hears the murmurings of his people. And this is emphasized here in the middle of verse 8. Look what it says. "For that the Lord heareth your murmurings, which ye murmur against him. Moses pointed out here that not only was there murmuring against the Lord, but that the Lord heard their murmurings. This is emphasized quite a number of times actually in the chapter. Look at verse 7 of Exodus chapter 16. And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. Look at verse 9. And Moses spake unto Aaron, say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. And take a look there at verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Moses here lets the people know that God is aware of their murmurings against him. Moses reveals unto the children of Israel that God hears their complaining. Again, this is emphasized in the book of Numbers, the chapter 11 and verse 1. Let me just read you the verse. It says, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them, and consumed them that were in the uttermost part of the camp. And in Numbers 14, verse 27, again this truth is set forth, where the Lord says, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. O child of God, let us all take note. The Lord hears when we murmur and complain. We must always remember that while God's ear is ever open to our prayers, his ear is also ever open to our murmurings. When we criticize one another, God hears every word of our criticism. And that's what we learn here from this passage of Scripture. And when we consider the murmuring of the children of Israel, it is a subject that we must take note of because it is continually brought to our attention throughout the children of Israel journeys in the wilderness. Is any wonder that the Bible says in James 1 verse 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak. In Proverbs 34 verse 13 we read, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. In Proverbs 13 verse 3 it says, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. And Peter in his epistle in 1 Peter 3 and verse 10 says, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. We have already noticed that the Lord described this murmuring of the children of Israel as evil. As evil. Indeed, he described them as evil because of their murmuring. And again, Peter here draws our attention to a tongue that speaks evil. And of course, he's speaking there about murmuring and complaining. So you can see here very clearly that the Lord condemns murmuring and complaining. It's a sin, against God. We may complain about the minister, we may complain about the elders, we may complain about someone else, we may complain about a family member, but always remember that murmuring is a sin against the Lord. And it's a sin that God hears. God hears our murmuring. But notice something else here. Take a look at Exodus chapter 16 again. And you'll notice thirdly that murmuring spreads quickly. You see, in Exodus 16 verse 2, we read these words, and the whole congregation, I want you to underline that little phrase, the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured. Now, we're not told here who started this murmuring. We are told that the whole congregation murmured. But what we are not told is where it began and with whom it began. But one thing is sure, the murmuring in the camp of Israel began with two people. If murmuring and complaining is going to spread, it needs two people. You say, but it only needs one person. No, it needs two people. One to complain, one to murmur, and one to listen. One to murmur and one to agree with the murmuring that's taking place. So the truth is that this murmuring needed to begin with two people. The best way to stop murmuring, therefore, spreading within a congregation is the moment someone complains to you about something or someone is to nip it in the bud and say, brother or sister, stop complaining. I don't want to hear that. Now, of course, that did not happen among the children of Israel. It is evident here that it did not happen among the children of Israel. Because the time we come to verse 2, the whole congregation, every man and woman in the congregation of Israel are murmuring. Wherever the murmuring began in the camp of Israel in Exodus 16, there were many listeners. And it spread throughout the whole congregation of Israel. The result was that the whole congregation became murmurers. That's what we learn here. That's what we see here from this passage of Scripture. Child of God, never listen to a grumbler, never listen to a complainer, never listen to a murmurer. Because if you do, then very soon you will become a murmurer as well. And instead of being a force for good, you will become an instrument for evil. Instead of doing God's work, you will begin to do the work of the devil. And that's what we have here when the children of Israel started to murmur against Moses and against Aaron and against the Lord. Now, and it spread like wildfire throughout the whole congregation. But take a look again with me at Exodus chapter 16 and look with me for a moment at verse 3, because we learn something else. Fourthly, murmuring accuses people in the wrong. It says here, and the children of Israel spake unto them. Here's their murmuring. Here's their complaining. Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us. Now this is a false accusation here that they're bringing to Moses and Aaron. They're blaming Moses and Aaron for all these problems. And look what they say about Moses and Aaron. And it's a false accusation. Ye, that's Moses and Aaron, have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Now that was a lie. That was preposterous. How foolish was their thinking at this time? Had they forgotten so soon what God had done for them at the Red Sea and at the water of Marah and in Egypt itself? How that God had delivered them from bondage and used Moses and Aaron to lead them out of that bondage? Had they forgotten so soon that God's presence was in the fiery pillar and the fiery cloud which had led them every step of the way? And now they're coming, and in the midst of their complaining, they're saying to Moses and Aaron, you've brought us here to kill us. That was your aim. That was your goal. That was your purpose in bringing us out of Egypt. That's what these words here mean. And they were accusing Moses and Aaron in the wrong. And child of God, murmuring accuses people in the wrong. Moses and Aaron had not brought them into the wilderness to kill them with hunger. This was a false accusation made against God's servants, and it was a very, very serious one indeed. Now, we have an example of someone murmuring in the New Testament. I'm sure that you can think of many examples, but keep your hand in Exodus chapter 16. We'll be coming back to it just in a moment. Turn over to John's Gospel chapter 12. And we're all, I'm sure, aware of the character of Judas Iscariot. Did you ever consider Judas Iscariot murmuring against Mary in John chapter 12? For that's exactly what Judas does here in this portion of Scripture. Look what we read in John chapter 12 and verse 3. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith
one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. Now we're all, I'm sure, familiar with the character of Judas Iscariot. I believe that Judas Iscariot was never saved. Outwardly, everyone thought he was a disciple, but inwardly he had never trusted Christ as his own and personal Redeemer. I believe that, and I believe that we can prove that from the Scriptures of truth. But nevertheless, outwardly, he was a disciple of the Lord. And everyone thought he was a true disciple of Christ. And here we have Judas murmuring. Now, the interesting fact is this, that in another parallel portion of Scripture, we read that very shortly after Judas murmured, that the rest of the disciples began to murmur about things as well. So, again, murmuring spreads very quickly. We've already pointed that out. But I want you to notice here that what Judas was saying was this: Mary does not love the poor. He accused her of wasting this ointment. When he said that this ointment could have been sold and the money given to the poor, he wasn't thinking of the poor at all, as we're going to find out in a moment. But he accuses Mary in the wrong. He falsely accuses Mary. He criticizes Mary. And in falsely accusing Mary, he criticized the Lord Jesus. Because remember, the Savior permitted this ointment to be poured over him. The Lord, of course, rebuked Judas, and he praised Mary. Look with me there at verse 7. Then said Jesus, "Let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always." But you'll notice there that in accusing Mary falsely, he criticized the Lord Jesus. Murmurers always criticize the Lord. At the end of the day, they always criticize Christ. What do we learn here? When we murmur against others, we are not only falsely accusing them, but we're criticizing the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Redeemer. However, turn back again to Exodus chapter 16. The children of Israel not only gave a false report about Moses and Aaron in their murmuring, but they also gave a false report about their life in Egypt. I wonder, did you notice that when we were reading down verse 3? Look what it says, or look what they said as they murmured, "We sat by the flesh pots and we did eat bread to the full." What lies? In Egypt they were slaves. In Egypt they suffered greatly. In Egypt they were under the taskmaster's whip. In Egypt they were under the taskmaster's cruelty. And yet they have the audacity here to say that they add bread to the full. They had forgotten what Egypt was like. Oh, I wonder tonight, is there a child of God here this evening and you have forgotten what Egypt's like? And tonight you're backslidden. I wonder, is it possible in this meeting this evening that there's a backslider here? Oh, you still come to church and you still sing the hymns and you still listen to the preaching, but your life outside this church is completely different than your life inside it. And in reality, you want to go back to Egypt. My friend, you'll not be back in Egypt too long if you're truly saved. If you're truly saved, you'll not be back in Egypt too long. You'll realize that the cupboards are not full, but that the cupboards are empty. There's no happiness in Egypt for the child of God. Egypt is a type of the world. Egypt is a type of sin. Egypt is a type of where the Christian was before they became a Christian. And there's no peace and no happiness in the world for the child of God. Maybe I'm speaking to someone here tonight, and that's where you're at tonight. You're in the world. You're drinking again at the cisterns of the world. My friend, you can't be happy. If you were truly saved, you can't be happy. Now, if you are happy, if you are genuinely happy in the world, then I have to say, you were never saved. You were never saved. But if you're in the world tonight, you're a backslider, then
you're miserable. And I pray tonight that the Lord will bring you back to himself. And even in this first Lord's Day of a new year, that the Lord will restore unto you the years that the locusts have eaten.
At this moment in time, in Exodus 16 and in the verse 4, the children of Israel wanted back to Egypt. They wanted back to Egypt. Now, thank God the Lord showed mercy, and we're going to see the mercy of the Lord next week as we continue these studies when he sent the manna from on high. But at that point, they wanted back to Egypt. Oh, child of God, you ever want back to Egypt? There's nothing in Egypt for the child of God. There's nothing there. There's nothing there. And although you may be going through a time of testing, and although the times may be hard, and although the crisis may have come, and although there's no water, and although there's no food, I'll tell you this, I'd rather have nothing and be with the Lord and be in the will of the Lord than be in Egypt without the Lord and have the world's goods. Oh, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Oh, not only did they accuse Moses and Aaron falsely, but they told lies about their situation in Egypt. That's what happens when you begin to murmur. That's what happens when you begin to complain. But notice something else. And in order to see this, I want you to turn over to the book of Numbers in the chapter 14. I want you to notice that murmurers always look at their circumstances and never look to the Lord. That's what's happening here. We've seen this morning in our studies. When the children of Israel had no water to drink, and when the water was bitter at Marah, they looked at their circumstances. And that's what they're doing again. That's what they're doing again. They've no food to eat, and again they're looking at their circumstances and failing to look to the Lord. Look what it says in Numbers chapter 14. In verse 2, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword? So they're not even pretending to blame Moses and Aaron now. They're blaming the Lord now. They've got to the stage where they've bypassed Moses and Aaron now. They're blaming the Lord that our wives and our children should be a prey. Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. Oh, instead of turning to the Lord, they turned to Egypt. Instead of looking to the Lord, they looked to Egypt. Is that not what we were preaching this morning? Child of God, it's the same truth. Let us emphasize it again. In the midst of the crisis, we need to turn to the Lord. The only solution that these murmurers could come to was to go back to Egypt. Had they forgotten how to pray? Had they forgotten how Moses had prayed for them and how God had answered his prayers? Had they forgotten the importance of seeking the face of God in the time of crisis? Oh, so short a time had passed from the bitter waters of Marah and what the Lord had done for them there. But they're now turning against the Lord again. Child of God, if you have a murmuring spirit, you'll never pray aright. You'll never pray aright. We were emphasizing this morning the importance in this new year of 2014 of praying, really seeking the face of God around the throne of grace. You'll never seek the Lord around the throne of grace properly if you have a murmuring spirit. I believe that's what's being taught. They couldn't pray. The children of Israel couldn't pray because of this murmuring spirit and complaining spirit that was within them. How on earth could they pray? How could they come before the Lord when they were blaming the Lord for bringing them into the wilderness and blaming the Lord for the fact that they had no food? They couldn't. Oh, that's why it's so important to keep short accounts with the Lord. Therefore, before we even think of murmuring and complaining, let us bring our problem to the Lord in prayer. As we learned this morning, the Lord is the great problem solver. Look at Exodus 16 and verse 4. The Lord steps into the situation. And despite their murmuring, the Lord has mercy upon them. Again, we can see the goodness and the mercy of the Lord in the midst of this problem. Look at verse 4. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for them. God solved the food problem because he gave them bread, or he gave them manna from heaven. Look with me there at verse 15 very quickly of Exodus 16. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, It is manna. For they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. God will always give us manna from heaven when we seek him with all our hearts. God was merciful. God was gracious. Again to the children of Israel. The lesson today is simple, and it's this. We need to learn how to pray in times of trouble, in times of a crisis. We have seen in these studies this Lord's Day, the children of Israel, they were in two crises. They had a water problem. They have a food problem here in Exodus chapter 16. Both times they murmur. Oh, child of God, let us see as we leave God's house tonight the goodness and the mercy of the Lord to his people. On both occasions, the Lord provides the children of Israel with their need. He provides water. He provides food. Hasn't the Lord been good to us in the year that's just gone out of into eternity? Hasn't the Lord been good to us ever from we were saved? Hasn't the Lord been good to us? Hasn't he kept his hand upon us? Well, he's going to do the same in 2014. And he's going to do the same until we die, until we get home to heaven throughout our lives. So when the crisis comes, when the problem comes, when the difficulties come, as they surely will, as we found out this morning, let us not murmur. Let us not complain. Let us not doubt. Let us not throw up our arms and complain, but let us look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Do you want a motto text for 2014? Then this is the motto text. From this portion of Scripture and from what we have learned today, Hebrews 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's not only the author of our faith, he's the finisher of our faith. He's not only the beginner of our faith, but he's the ending of our faith. The beginning of our faith. He's the ending of our faith. And praise God, he has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. May God bless his word. May God bless his word to our hearts this evening. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for thy precious truth. O God, we pray that you'll help us, Lord, not to be like the children of Israel. O God, so often we confess we are. When the crisis comes, we look at our circumstances instead of looking up and seeing the cloud. Instead of looking up, Lord, to thee, instead of seeking thee, Lord, we look down and we can see nothing but despair. We can see nothing but the lack of water and the lack of food and the lack of help and the lack of nourishment and the lack of sustenance. Oh God, we pray that you'll give us the grace day by day. And like Moses, Lord, teach us how to pray. We need thee, Lord, O God, more than life itself. We know, Lord, that you have supplied our every need according to your riches in glory. And yet, Lord, we're so conscious today, maybe our need is not physical water, physical food, but Lord, it's spiritual. And Lord, spiritually we're barren. Spiritually we need Thee to come, Lord, in revival blessings. Spiritually we need Thee, Lord, to work on our hearts again. For Lord, You've said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. And while our cupboards are full of food as far as the material things of life are concerned, oh God, how the church needs God to work again spiritually in our lives. Lord, fill us with Thy power. Come, Lord, with the heavenly manna. And oh God, feed us to overflowing. Give us a thirst again for the Bible. Give us a thirst again for Thy word, not only for prayer, but for the word of God. And give us, Lord, that desire to want to be studying and reading Thy precious truth from day to day, from week to week of this new year. Lord, help us in these days. Bless Your people. We thank Thee, Lord, for Your saints here tonight. And we pray, O God, that You'll encourage Your people. And, O God, in these days, that You would teach us how to walk with Thee, and how to rejoice in Thee. Lord, we thank Thee for all that Thou, the Lord, our God, had done for us. We think of how You blessed and worked among the children of Israel, how You opened up the Red Sea, how You delivered them out of Egypt, how You provided water for them and food for them and miraculously wrought miracles to do that. Oh God, and yet, Lord, in our day, You've blessed us greatly. You've encouraged us through Thy precious word. And Lord, we pray that we'll never forget. We'll not forget. Help us not to forget all Thy goodness and mercies towards us. For they're new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness, O Lord, to us. Lord, bless us now, we pray Thee. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. We're going to sing a hymn in closing. It's hymn number 604. We're going home to glory soon to see the city bright, to walk the golden streets of heaven and bask in God's own light. But some of you are out of Christ and held by many a snare. We cannot leave you lost and lone. We want you over there. Let's stand to sing this lovely hymn, 604. Amen. Let's all stand to sing.